to Ephesians chapter number 2. And if you want to know the Bible definition of be instant, here it is. Amen. And so we praise the Lord for the opportunity to preach this morning. And I left the sanctuary just a minute ago for see if the Lord would give me something. So y'all pray he did. Amen. And I want to be a blessing and a help to you this morning. And don't just want to, you know how it is, sometimes you have the opportunity kind of off the cuff just to preach and don't want to just give you anything that that you've heard before. You've just about heard everything I've got, but want to be sensitive enough to give you something that I feel like the Lord would have for everybody this morning. And want to look at Ephesians chapter number 2 this morning, Ephesians chapter number 2. And I want to pick up in reading in verse number 8. We know these preliminary verses pretty well here in chapter number 2. But I want to read from verse 8 on to the end of the chapter here and just kind of highlight some statements here in the Word of God and give you a thought for this morning. All right, Ephesians chapter number 2. And let's look together there in verse number 10. Paul said, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, but at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He said, For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Let's pray together. Would you pray with us and for us this morning? Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to stand this morning. Lord, we thank you, God, for the call that you've put upon our life. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, through the power of your Spirit, Lord, to exercise this call this morning. I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning, Lord, through the preached Word of God. I pray, Lord, if there's one here lost among us, I ask you, God, that you would, Lord, speak to their heart, God. I pray that you'd convict them, Lord, show them who they are before you. But Lord, I pray that you'd show them yourself. I pray that they would see Jesus Christ high and lifted up. Lord, I pray, God, that they would see the power and the effect, Lord, of the cross of Calvary this morning, Lord, that they might be saved, God, that they may put their faith and their trust in the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. And Lord, those of us that are cold and indifferent this morning, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, through this text, God, to see a fresh look at the cross this morning of what we have, who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that you'd help us to rejoice in that, Lord, especially during this time, Lord, when we have the opportunity, Lord, to gather with family and friends and loved ones. I pray, Lord, that we would be a light to them. And Lord, help us to be right with you. Lord, I pray that we would settle these things in our heart, Lord, that we would be in a proper standing with you when we leave this place. Lord, we ask you, God, that you'd work as only you can, for we ask it today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we come to the book of Ephesians, one writer said this. He said that the book of Ephesians could be called the Grand Canyon of Scripture. It's a great, vast depth of riches that the child of God possesses in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as the Grand Canyon is deep and as it's vast and wide, the book of Ephesians is deep and it's vast and wide, containing great doctrine concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And there again, what we possess in the Lord. We know and we understand that the opening chapters of Ephesians deal with our wealth, our possession, who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then as the book progresses, it deals with the walk of the believer, and it ultimately ends in chapter number 6 with the warfare of the believer as Paul instructs the child of God to put on the whole armor of God. Each chapter, of course, would have a theme, and the chapter before us in Ephesians chapter number 2 deals with the idea and deals with the concept in the scripture of reconciliation. He opens up in chapter number 2 talking about us being dead in our trespasses and sins. We were strangers. We were alienated from God, simply meaning we were enemies of God and enemies of the cross. We were foreign from the gospel, but thank God, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did there at Calvary, His shed blood offering us grace, thank God we have been reconciled unto God this morning. Amen. We have been brought from a distant place, brought from a dark and a despondent and in a depraved setting this morning. We have been brought into a right relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something that's mentioned over and over here in the text, in the Word of God. If you'll notice, he talks about the child of God being brought into that relationship with God. And he talked about in verse number 13 that we were made nigh. We were far off, but we were brought in by the blood of Christ. And here's what he says about the Lord Jesus in verse number 14, he said, "For he is our peace." He says in verse number 15 that the Lord Jesus Christ made in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Amen. He deals with the concept of peace. He says in verse number 17 that Jesus came and preached peace to you that were afar off and to them that were nigh. Amen. He deals with two groups of people, talking about the Jew and talking about the Gentile, and that is the miracle of the Spirit of God. That is the blessing of the new covenant. What the Jews in the early church could not understand, that the grace of God was made available to all people, and not just the Jews would be made nigh unto God, but those lost heathen Gentiles, those that were unclean and those that were afar off, could be brought in to the family of God, brought in to a right standing with God. And ultimately he expresses that through the idea of peace, having peace with God. Paul said in another place in the book of Romans, he said, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, you think about that during the time of year that it is, Christmas time. And of course, we're familiar with the concept of peace on earth. We're familiar with the idea of goodwill toward men. And this ought to be a peaceful time. It ought to be a time of gathering together with family. It ought to be a time of contentment. But I heard one time that during this time of the year, during December and during Christmas time and all the hustle and bustle of the holidays, I heard one time that the suicide rate was higher now during this time of the year than it was ever been. You think about a time when people are supposed to have peace. Amen. The children of God and the people of God, we are self-proclaimed Christians because what God has done in our heart. And if anybody ought to have peace, it ought to be the child of God this morning. Amen. And it ought to be a peaceful time, and it ought to be a time of reflection. But understand this, that we are living in a world of immense pressure this morning. Amen. The weight and the cares of life, maybe financial burdens and family burdens and burdens of our career and things of that nature, just struggling to make ends meet. And God desires, no doubt, for the child of God to have peace. But as we're trying to just fit the mold and trying to make everything happen, maybe you're struggling this morning to try to make sure you have enough presents for the children. Maybe trying to make sure that your family can have a good Christmas. It is unbelievable unbelievable the amount of pressure that is put on individuals, especially in America, in the day and hour in which we live, to make sure everything is right, to make sure all of the pieces fit, to make sure that we get everything done. Oh, but can I remind you this morning, and you know this, that this time of year, and really being a Christian and being a child of God, is not about what we have. Amen. Listen, life is not consisting in the abundance of things this morning, and it's not what we have and what we possess, but it is who we know this morning, and Christ and Christ alone can give us peace. Amen. You may not have all the presents under the tree. You may not have the money in the bank this morning. Your life may not have turned out the way that you thought it could, but I'm here to tell you this morning that you can have peace with God, and it's through a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning. Amen. Paul expresses this idea of the peace this morning that the believer has, and that's really what we're preaching on this morning. If we had a title for our fall, we're talking about the peace of the believer. Amen. The peace of the believer. He deals with the idea of reconciliation. If you look by way of introduction, you look in verse number 16, the Bible says, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Aren't you glad this morning that Jesus took care of what kept us out of the presence of God? Amen. Listen, our sin kept us estranged from God. Our sin disallowed us and kept us from having peace with God. But thank God it is Christ who has reconciled us. There on the cross, he reached out to God, and he reached out to man with the other, and he did what no man could do, and he did what no angel could do, and he did what nobody in this world could do, and he brought God and man together. Amen. Thank God he did that in himself, and he reconciled the sinner to himself. Christ has reconciled us. But think about this morning. Thank God he reached us. Amen. He came and preached peace to you which were afar off. Amen. I don't know how it was where you were in your house. I don't know how it was with your family, but there's some of us that we were afar off. Didn't have a Bible, didn't know anything about the gospel, had no consciousness of God this morning, but thank God the gospel reached us this morning. Amen. Had a preacher friend of mine, he spent a large majority of his teenage years and his early adult years on drugs. His mom had spent over $100,000 on rehab trying to get him right with God. But thank God, listen, he heard the gospel one day, and he did. And Christ did what rehab couldn't do. Christ did what the reformers could not do. Thank God, listen, took care of his sin problem. Thank God took care of his sin debt, took care of that addiction this morning. Thank God, and the gospel is still able to reach sinners this morning. Amen. Christ reconciled us, and Christ reached us. But listen to me. Christ reinstated us this morning. He said in verse number 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Thank God. Listen, we were strangers. We were alienated from God. But thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ has reinstated us. Everything that Adam lost, amen. Everything that Adam caused in the fall. Amen. Thank God we got it back in Christ, and so much more. One of these days, this curse on this earth is going to be lifted. One of these days, we'll be delivered from the power of sin. One of these days, we'll be delivered, thank God, listen, from the punishment of sin. One of these days, thank God, we'll have a new body, and we'll be reconciled to him, and we'll be like he is this morning. Hallelujah. And everything that Adam lost, Christ has restored this morning. And thank God, Christ can reinstate the child of God. Amen. Think about what happened this morning with the child of God being reconciled. Notice, number one, this morning the Bible says that the despised are made welcome. Look with me in verse number 11. Paul said, wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. He said that the despised are made welcome. Amen. He said that they are made welcome, number one, without circumcision. Amen. We know that that was the cutting of the flesh. That was the token of the covenant made between God and man. You go all the way back to the days of Abraham, and that signified that those people, the Jews, had made a covenant with God, and this was not a heathen practice. Oh, but thank God, listen, it wasn't the cutting of the flesh. It wasn't ceremonial washing that Paul wanted those Gentiles to understand that they had been reinstated and they had been made nigh to God by the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no religious act. There is no religious work that can get you saved this morning. Amen. If the baptismal pool could save you, if communion of the Lord's table could save you, if turning over a new leaf and trying to reestablish yourself and revamp yourself and try to just do better could save you, then Christ would have never had to go to the cross. But I'm glad this morning that He took our sin debt and He took our shame and He did what no religious work could do, and He looked Nicodemus in his eyes and He said, you must be born again. I'm glad the cross still saves and Christ still saves, and it's not works of righteousness which we have done, but thank God it's according to His mercy that we are saved this morning. Amen. The despised are made welcome without circumcision. These despised were made welcome because they were without Christ. Amen. Verse number 12 tells us this, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. That were without Christ. We think about Israel this morning. Even though Israel was tainted by idolatry, she was still God's chosen people. She still had an advantage over the Gentiles this morning. Amen. And even though Christ did not come, and even though they looked by faith forward to a Messiah, listen, they still had an advantage because they were God's chosen people. But the heathen did not have that this morning. Amen. They had no covenants. They had no promise. They had no country in this world to call their own. Amen. They were not identified with God. Oh, but listen, I'm glad this morning as Christ came, His own, listen, He came into His own and His own received Him not. Listen, God gave Israel another opportunity. He gave the Jew another opportunity, and they spurned it and they hated Christ and they crucified Him and killed Him just like they killed the prophets of old. And God said, all right, you've had your opportunity, but there's a crowd who does not know me. There's a crowd who doesn't know mercy. There's a crowd who doesn't know grace. And if you don't want my grace, and if you don't want my mercy, I'm going to offer it to a crowd who didn't even ask for it. Amen. That's you and I this morning. Amen. Thank God. Listen, He came to His own, and His own received Him not. And this is where we enter into the picture. Thank God, but them that knew Him not, thank God we could become the sons of God through the cross this morning. Amen. They were despised and made welcome. They were without circumcision. Those Jews were without Christ. They were without citizenship this morning. Verse number 12 tells us this. He said, at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world this morning. Amen. God made His covenants with the Jews and the Gentile. You understand this. You read the Old Testament scriptures, it is strictly a Jewish book, and there was not one promise that was available to Gentiles outside of being proselyted and brought in under the covenant. Amen. You think about Ruth this morning. Amen. You think about Rahab the harlot. You think about those Gentiles that got in. Amen. Listen, it was because of a Jew this morning, and ultimately it was because of Christ that they were able to get in this morning. Notice they were without confidence. Verse number 12 said, having no hope, the Gentile had no well-grounded hope after this life. False beliefs like The Roman Elysium come to mind. That was their viewpoint of heaven. And of course, it was an idea of being weighed in the balances. And if you pleased the gods enough and you did homage to those gods enough, you could maybe possibly, quite possibly, have hope after this life. And there is no hope. There's no confidence that the Gentile has. But thank God, this old Gentile dog this morning, amen, I've got hope this morning. And thank God that Jesus went to prepare a place. Amen. Listen, I'm not a Jew this morning. Amen. I didn't have any Jewish heritage. Oh, but thank God, God made a covenant with me one day at the cross of Calvary. And if I would just trust in Him, then I could have hope beyond the grave. They were without a creator. There again in verse number 12, the Bible says they were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Amen. As we said, those Gentiles had many gods that were subject to many human-like qualities. But they had no God that they could rally to. If the gods would smile upon them and if the gods would favor them, then they may have hope this morning. But I'm glad the very God who created us is the God who desires to make a covenant with us this morning. Understand something, that we're not all God's children. We are all God's creation. And I'm God's. When I was born, I was God's by way of creation. But as a 14-year-old boy, when I put my trust in Christ, I became His by way of Calvary this morning. Amen. I became His by way of covenant. And you may be here this morning and you say, well, I'm God's creation and I love God and I acknowledge God. Listen, that's all fine and well and good this morning. But I'm going to tell you, it takes Christ to be born again. Amen. It takes Christ to go to heaven. You may be here this morning, you've got some habit, you've got some fix, you've got some drug habit or some addiction that nobody knows about. You can kick drugs without Christ. You can kick bad habits without Christ. You can reform your life without Christ, but you can't be saved and go to heaven without Christ. Amen. And that's what makes the difference this morning. The despised were made welcome, but then secondly, the distant were made nigh. The despised were made welcome, and then the distant were made nigh. Notice what he says in verse number 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He deals with their past state. Notice the distinction. He said, but now. In verse number 13, thank God, but now, presently, amen, there was a past. There was past sins. There was a past life. There were past mistakes. But thank God, now, hallelujah, we are in Christ. It indicates a contrast with their previous position. Can I ask you a question this morning? Do you have a testimony? Can you say, but now? I was lost, but now I'm found. I was dead in my trespasses and sins, but now I'm in Christ this morning. Amen. Listen, the word for sometimes, he deals with that word sometimes, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. That word sometimes is a Greek word. It means a specified time. Amen. I still believe, listen, salvation is not something that is progressive. Salvation is not something that you have to go through confirmation to affirm this morning. But thank God there was a sometime. There was a specific moment in time as a 14-year-old boy. Listen, I fell under conviction, under the preaching of the Word of God. I can't tell you what that man said. I still don't remember all the details of that service, but I remember God getting a hold of my heart, putting me under Holy Ghost conviction, knowing and understanding that I had offended God. But I would, if I died in my sins, I would die and go to hell and went down to the altar and put my faith and my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There was a specific time in my life. Do you have a specific time in your life? Amen. Formerly, they were in the world. Formerly, sinners being in the world, their condition was hopeless. But now, thank God, we have all the privileges of heaven. Everything that God wants us to have and everything that God desires for us to have has been made available through Christ this morning. Amen. Yes. We see their past state, their present standing. They were made nigh there in verse number 13. It deals with the expression of being made nigh. So it means to stretch out the arm and pull in close to the chest. Amen. Thank God, listen, it's not just some religious system this morning. It's not some just creed or doctrine that we confess, but we have a living, breathing relationship with a real God through a real Savior. We're going to a real heaven. We've got a real book with real promises this morning. Amen. Thank God we have been made nigh. We were without Christ, and now we're made nigh. We've been brought into fellowship and favor with God, not because of what we've done, not because of who we are, but because of who He is and what He has accomplished upon the cross. The past state, the present standing, and then we see that there is a perfect sacrifice in which we were made nigh. The Bible says in verse number 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. There's one thing that God is looking for, amen, and He's looking for blood. He's looking for a sacrifice that would satisfy Him this morning, amen. Thank God, listen, if the blood hits your soul, then thank God heaven is your home. But if you'll miss the blood, then you'll miss heaven this morning. Amen. Listen, sinners who die without Christ, it's sad to say, it doesn't bring any pleasure to our heart to say this, but sinners in 2024 and 2025 still die and go to hell without Christ this morning. Amen. You say, well, you know, I'm better than the hypocrite religious person that I know of, and I'm sorry somebody hurt you, and I'm sorry they let you down. Maybe there's some preacher that let you down somewhere. But listen, that's not going to hold water when you stand before God. Listen, Christ has made Himself available to all who would believe. And if you'll trust in Him and the finished work of Calvary, then you can be saved this morning. Amen. Amen. There was a sacrifice that God was looking for. It's not tithes and offerings. That's right. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not trying to do better this morning. Thank God it's the sacrifice that satisfied the righteous judgment and the holiness of Almighty God. Amen. And it was the precious blood of His Son offered up with a perfect life, a sinless life. Paul said that Jesus Christ, Him that knew no sin, He became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Listen, we've got a Savior this morning who does not have the capability to sin this morning. Because if Jesus ever could sin, then He might sin now. He might have the ability to sin now as He's there in the presence of God at the right hand of God. But He is a sinless, perfect sacrifice. Under that Old Testament economy, they sacrificed. You ever wondered why they did that? Because God was looking for blood. Those Old Testament sacrifices that were ineffective, they were impure, they were not perfect. They typified and they pointed and they pictured to a perfect sacrifice that was to come. Amen. As that priest labored there in the temple, and as he labored there in the tabernacle, it was a constant work. It was a bloody work. Can you imagine the bloodshed that took place, the animals that had to die, and the work of that priest was never done. Many pieces of furniture inside the tabernacle and the temple. You've got the Ark of the Covenant. You've got the brazen laver. You've got the altar of sacrifice. You've got the offering of incense. You've got all of those different pieces of furniture. You've got the table of showbread. But there's one thing inside that tabernacle and that temple that you'd never find, and that was a chair. Amen. That priest could not rest. There was never a time to sit down. Those sacrifices were perpetual and they were continual. And the altar of God cried out, sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. But thank God, the writer of Hebrews tells us this, that Jesus Christ, thank God, He offered His blood. He, through the eternal Spirit, offered Himself without spot to God. Amen. And thank God, He sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. Thank God, He sat down at the right hand of God because the perfect sacrifice had been made. No more bulls, no more lambs. No more pigeons or turtle doves. The ultimate blood sacrifice, God's sinless, spotless lamb, was offered that day. And he said, it's finished. And he sat down on the right hand of God. No more sacrifice. The altar cried out, satisfied, satisfied, satisfied. And our great high priest is seated at the right hand of God. The work's done. The work's finished. And now sinners can be reconciled to God through the finished work, the perfect sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I want to show you this. The despised are made welcome. The distant are made nigh. And then lastly, the divided are made one. The divided are made one. Look what he said in verse number 14. He said, for he is our peace, who had made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now, there's some different ideas about what this is talking about, but obviously he's talking about a partition. He's talking about a wall. One gentleman said that it's possibly that wall that would divide that outer court of the Gentiles from where the Jews went into the temple to worship. And that sounds pretty good, but I think more than that, it's spiritual. It's figurative, talking about that wall of partition, that social wall and that religious wall that stood between Jew and Gentile. You remember how Jesus, when he said that he must needs go through Samaria, the Jews didn't care for that, and they did not want him to do that, and that was an odd thing for him to do because the Jews and Gentiles did not intermingle. Those Samaritan people were Jews that had married into those Gentiles, and they were despised by the Jews. They were viewed as a lower class. Amen. And they were to stay away from them, as to not to to defile themselves. But here's what Paul said. Thank God. He said, but Jesus Christ is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. God not just taking Christ, not just taking God and man and bringing them together, but Christ taking Jew and Gentile and bringing them together in one body. Thank God. Listen, there's no feast to keep anymore. Amen. There's no Passover. Thank God, Christ. He is our Passover. Amen. Thank God, he is that unleavened bread. He is that darling lamb that was sacrificed in all those Jewish feast days. We don't have time to go through that right now, but all of them have their fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. Where the Jew had the shadow, thank God, the Gentiles got the substance. Amen. And God took Jew and Gentile, and he brought us together into one body. Amen.
That's right.
He's not one gospel for the Jews and one gospel for the Gentiles. Amen. There's not a gospel of the circumcision and a gospel of the uncircumcision. Amen. Listen, there wasn't a different apostle. There wasn't a different gospel. There's one gospel this morning. Amen. And it is to bring everybody into one body this morning. Amen. Jews and Gentiles were divided racially. They were divided socially. They were divided religiously this morning. Amen. Inscription on that temple wall warned of death to Gentiles who would enter in. But thank God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, some Gentile dogs this morning have entered in. What was meant for the Jews, what was meant for the Israelites, what was meant for God's chosen people. Hey, you've got Lot in that this morning. Amen. You've got a part in that this morning. Sinner friend, listen to me very quickly this morning. If you're here and you're lost without Christ, I want you to know and understand that Jesus took your sin debt. He took your sins upon himself, lived a perfect, sinless life, something that you could not do. He died for you, and he died as you. He shed his blood for you, paying, making an atonement for your soul. You say, I don't know what that means. Here's simply what it means this morning. His life for yours this morning. Amen. He took your sins upon himself, paid your sin debt. He overcame death, hell, and the grave. He overcame Satan. He overcame flesh. He overcame the world this morning. Amen. And if you'll put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved this morning. Amen. He died, was buried, and rose again so that you could be right with God this morning. Amen. Let's stand together as they prepare a song.